This is Kelly Lally, and I'm here in Kay City, Kentucky with Mr. Shorty Coates. Today is August the 13th, 1987. When were you born, Mr. Coates?
I was born in January 21st, 1960.
And where did you grow up?
Right here at Mammoth Cave.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
There were 12 in the family.
What number were you out of that bunch?
I was the seventh one.
The seventh one.
Yeah.
What did your family do for a living?
Oh, Dad worked at the cave. He was a cook at the hotel. Worked there 40 years. And until I was a good-sized boy, we lived within 300 yards of the entrance of the cave. Because we were just in back of the hotel. You know where those motels are? Just in the back of the, mm-hmm. out there by the old God Cemetery.
Uh-huh.
Right there, we was, one of them motels was in our yard.
Well, you lived there when the park was being developed, the whole family did?
Oh, yes. He moved there. He built him a house there. He was working at the cave, started working when he was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they paid him $12 a month. And he had to get up, he lived over, up the river, mm-hmm. joined the cave. I mean, his dad's land joined the cave.
Oh.
And, but he had to walk down the narrows along the river,
mm-hmm.
get up at 3 o'clock, get down to the cave, build a fire in the kitchen stove, have it ready to go at four. So they decided they'd build him a little house in the back of the hotel there, right close. So that's why I was there. He lived on the estates property.
What were times like for your family during the Depression?
Rough. Big family, yes. So it was hard to get food. But he worked at the cave quite a bit. Not regularly, but enough that we got by. We didn't starve.
How old were you when the CCC came into the area? Did you join right when it started?
Oh, no. I had a brother joined right when it started.
Mm-hmm.
It was come in 33.
Yeah.
And then I joined in 37.
37? Did you have to sign up any particular place? Or since you live so close, did you just go and...
No, we had to sign up at Cave City. It's kind of political, and the man run a store in Cave City, if you trade with him, why, he'd let you all sign up for the CCs, you know. That's about the right. That was a racket, don't you? So we traded with him, and I signed up. Of course, $25 went home to buy food, and I used all of that $5 a month.
How did you spend your $5?
I bought cigarettes and candy and junk like that. Of course, they fed good. That's the best food I'd ever eaten was CC grub. Of course, it's Army grub's what it was. And it's first class grub. You can't beat it.
So what camp were you in?
I was in 516 on the north side of the river, which was referred to as number 4. There were 4 camps coming to the area.
And you say you went in 35, did you say, or
37?
And how long did you stay in?
I stayed in almost 2 years. 2 years was the limit when I was in, but I wanted to work at the cave as a seasonal guide, so they let me out a little early.
Okay.
I didn't stay, I've forgotten, seemed like it was 21 months or something like that. And I got out and done seasonal guide job.
Right after that?
Yeah.
What work projects did you work on when you were in the CCC?
Oh, I worked in the cave.
What did you do in the cave?
I was fall out and police up. We policed the area. Cleaned the boats.
Do you have any?
The bridges. Mm-hmm. See, with about a half mile of bridge walk there, close to half a mile of bridge work. I mean that the river would rise. Every time the river would rise 7 feet, it'd be over that board walk. And that was to be cleaned. And I've cleaned that many a time. And I've done that before I went in the CCs too. But they pay us $2 a day. $2 a day for that. But it didn't rise too often that they got in a big hurry to get it off. And that was in the summertime.
Were all the trails already finished by the time you got in? Did you have anything to do with the making of the trails?
Oh, building the trails?
Uh-huh.
No, they were still building trails. I was in that group. My supervisor was trail building. But there were about 8 of us on cleanup detail. Mm-hmm. So that's what I done.
Was it mainly men from Camp Number 4 that worked in the cave, or were there any from other camps that
Strictly
worked?
Strictly Number 4.
And aside from the 8 on the cleanup detail, do you remember how many total were in the cave working? Or?
Seemed like it was a group of about 20 on trail building.
So there was cleanup crew and there was trail building. Was there anything else that you all did in the cave?
Well, they explored the new discovery in about 37, and the police up detail for about 2 or 3 months, 2 months, we was digging out a small passageway that had filled with silt, and that's one of the ways of running in some new cave is digging that silt out so you can get through, and we done that for a while.
Did you work anywhere else besides in the cave while you were in the CCC?
No.
Always in the
Strictly
cave?
Strictly cave. See, I was working in the cave. I was working in the cave before I went to CCC's. Summer season only. Mm-hmm. It was July and August. They called us trailers, and we trailed the groups, cleaned lamps. Sometimes we have to go clean those bridges, too, when the river would rise. That was another trailer's detail until the CCs come in. And when they come in, they took that bridge cleaning.
Did they put you to work in the cave because they knew you had experience there?
Yes, that was the idea.
Okay. Let's see. We went through a lot of these real fast. Is there any way you could describe a typical day for you as far as, you know, getting up in the morning and, you know, what time you did what, working, or?
Did they have reveille like they did in the Army, Shorty?
I believe they did have. Yeah, that's the only way they had keeping up with all of them. They'd have to have, they'd have to report the number of people. See, we're in barracks, and I was in barracks number 2, and our barracks leader, we'd all file out and line up there, and he'd report the number of people that, of CCs were in line there.
And everybody go to work. Did you come back for lunch, or did they have lunch for you there?
No, after that reveille, we'd eat breakfast, and they'd have our food ready in the poke sack for the police up boys. Of course, now the building crew, they'd bring food in for them. From the CC camp. Of course, we ate. Our lunch would usually be bologna sausage and that round hoop cheese. That was about it. And wasn't bad in them days, but it tastes pretty good.
And what time did you get off work in the afternoon? Do you remember?
I believe we had to be out of the cave before 4 o'clock to be brought back to camp. We ate lunch at, I ate dinner at 5.
And with the rest of the time after that, your free time?
Yes.
In the evening? What did you do with your free time in the evenings or on the weekends?
All of the evenings, see, there was nowhere to go. That was all wooded area just like it is now. Because they'd moved all the people out. No, just take it easy. On the weekends, I'd come home because, see, we lived right across that little shack over there. So if we wasn't on fire detail, why, you'd get a pass and come home. Sometimes I'd sneak off and get caught. I have to do a KP on the weekends then.
What were you doing when you got caught? Did you sneak off to find some girls?
Well, yeah, there'd always be a lot of kids around this area because.
Uh-huh. Do many of the guys date local girls?
There wasn't that many. A few did.
What did you do when you were on fire detail?
Well, if they had a fire in the area, they'd call us out and we'd get on the truck, go up, put that fire out.
Did you have to stay in camp on those weekends when you were?
On fire detail, yes. Supposed to. But a lot of times I went out and didn't get caught. Some I did.
What did you have to do if you got KP?
Same as a GI did. Same principle as a GI. Wash dishes, clean the mess hall, junk like that.
Did you participate in many of the organized recreational activities, the sports teams or things like that?
They didn't have too much of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on a weekend or two, we play ball, play softball. And one time they had a test on see who could kick the football the farthest. And about the smallest guy in the outfit kicked it the farthest because he was a real active. But I kicked it a little better than that. I kicked it 49 feet. About the first time I'd ever kicked one, but I said, well, I could kick one anyway, 60 or 70 feet, but I missed it some.
Did you ever participate in any of the education programs that the
camp? Yeah, I took typing.
Did you take those, was it in the evenings or on the weekends or?
In the evenings.
Did that help you when you got a job with the Park Service?
I never did use that typing.
Never did use it?
No. No, I was just what you were, storyteller.
Did you go into Cave City much for movies or any other activity?
Yeah, they would haul us, they'd load a truck, haul into town, see a movie for a dime.
What about the recreation center? The Whoopee House, have they had that built yet when you were there?
No, I was gone, I believe, when they had built. They were building it, mm-hmm. but they didn't have it finished until I got out. But I went to the Whoopee House some after I got out because I was local here.
Oh, yeah. Did the different camps here or at Mammoth Cave, you know, 1 through 4, did they have much to do with each other? Did they interact very much, the guys in each of the camps?
No.
Did you ever have any dealings with the Black Camp number 1? Did you ever work with any of those crews or
no.
fire
no.
details or they didn't put them together in the field then when they no. called them out on a fire or something?
No. They Now, they worked in the cave most of the time. That was their detail, was building the trails.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so there were two camps involved with the cave, 4 and number 1.
Well, number 1 had it until I went in, mm-hmm. CC's, and since I was familiar with policing the trails and so on, mm-hmm. why they put it over at number 4.
I see.
How did the white people in the area feel about the presence of the blacks in a camp nearby? Was there any racial tension at all around here?
No, no. There's more cave niggers than there was white niggers. I mean, the white cave niggers. Because the guides done, I mean, 90% of them were black. Mm-hmm. And I was raised up where there were more blacks than there were whites. Right around the cave area there.
So everybody got along pretty well?
Oh, yes.
Was your father still working in the cave while you were in the CCC?
Well, see, he could cook in the hotel.
Oh, that's cook. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
He did. He did work at number two. I mean, at number one, mm-hmm. with them blacks. There had to be two guides with every crew of blacks working, building the trails. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he worked here all his life, and they got him a job for about a year or so, working
with number one.
Working with number one, yeah. And that's the reason he got that job as a babysitting the Indian.
Will you tell me about that? When did they find the Indian?
They found him in 1930. Was it 37?
I've said 35, 36, and 37. I don't know. I believe
I can't remember now. That slipped my mind.
I believe it's 35, wasn't it? Was it that early or was it 36?
Oh, the CCs were in. The CCs were working in that black, one of the black crews was working along where the Indian was found. And the guide, see, had two guides, and one of the guides was searching for a good deposit of clay to spread along the trail. See, then they built clay trails instead of cement trails. And he is up on a cliff section and found that Indian with that, I mean, it was in 35, I guess, wasn't it?
I believe it's 35. Was it Lyman or Grover that found the Indian? Or were both of them back there? Was it Lyman, Cutliffe, and Grover?
Campbell? Yeah, Lyman, Cutliffe, and Grover Campbell. They were the two guides with that particular group.
Uh-huh.
And they were up on that cliff section, Mummy Ledge, and discovered him under the rock.
And so they had your dad come in?
Well, after they found him, why they got to thinking somebody might come in and disturb the situation. So they put guides as night watchmen there. Roy Estes was one of the guides. You knew Roy, didn't you? He's one of the guys that stayed there. And Dad was the other one. They stayed, well, over 12 hours, I guess. Time didn't mean much in those days. When I started working at the cave, you'd go to work at 8 o'clock and come home when you got off. Sometimes I'd get a 3 o'clock all day trip and get out at, I have got out as late as 11 o'clock at night. And I would have already made an Echo River trip in the mornings and then make that all day trip in the afternoon. Same money, $2 a day. Nice tickle of debt. You work 7 days a week right along. No time off.
What did the local residents around here, you know, you were brought up around here, what did they think about the CCC being in the area?
Oh, the CCs didn't go over too good. They thought it was a waste of money, in which it was. What they were doing, except for the cave now, because they was out in the forest, doing this and doing that, just working. Now, they worked. If you didn't work, they'd send you home. I've seen several guys get sent home because they wouldn't work.
Was there any trouble between the local residents and any of the CCC guys, or just didn't have much to do with each other?
Well, didn't have too much to do with each other. I know one of my friends got cut with a knife with a CC, by a CC boy. Cut, I think he had 100-some stitches, because he raked him good. Back in those days, they'd knife you in a minute.
What did people think about you being a CCC boy around the area, since you were also, you know, pretty well known? I mean, you were, you know, a local resident, too. Did you have any problems with that?
Oh, no. Now, that was just two boys fighting, is
mm-hmm.
how come.
Yeah.
We had a little party down here about halfway down to the cave in a man's house, you know, just,
mm-hmm.
and four or five CC boys come because there were a bunch of girls there.
Yeah.
So that, you know how that goes. Did you ever make them honky tonk joints? Rough joints? You can get in trouble. Yeah. So that is the same principle, lady.
Well, a lot of local residents, by the time you got in the CCC, were they still upset about the park being developed, with the government taking their land and stuff?
A lot of people were, yes.
Still upset?
Because they took it for nothing, and that was some people's home. Makes a lot of difference. And my dad had a little property over on, right near the Mammoth Cave School. And they gave him $20 an acre. He's already fenced and had the buildings on it. Nothing fancy, but should have been worth more than $20 an acre.
That must have been hard for him having to work in the cave and while the park was being developed, when he's, you know, sort of like on both sides, he's on both sides.
Well, you just had to take it, that is all. He had always worked at the cave, so he could have helped out on selling that property and got $40 an acre, because some people did. They'd hold out and they'd have to condemn it. Well, when they condemned it, why, they'd give $40 an acre. So he got twice the money. But he was working there, and he had to go along with it, he thought, so he did.
Did he still live right around the cave? Did they let him still live there?
Oh, no. They said they were going to begin with. But they'll tell you anything to get an option on your land. Yeah, they started taking options on that land in 1926.
When did they move you off the old estate? What year did you have to move off of that?
32.
Did they make you move?
Well, they wanted you to. They kept after you until they did. I mean, they finally got everybody out.
Did Lewis and they move before y'all did, or about the same time?
Well, Lewis and them was living on the estate. They lived visitor centers in their front yard.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, how successful do you feel like the CCC was in relieving the effects of the Depression? Do you think it made a difference?
It made an awful lot of difference for the people who were able to participate. Yes, 30 bucks a month was a lot of money. I know a few First World War veterans would get 30 bucks a month for a pension. So they were able to chase the government out of a pension. They were rich people there during the Depression.
What do you think, do you think the CCC being in the area helped the local economy at all?
The Cave City area made that man rich. That, run the cinema or show, because they'd send 8 or 10 trucks a week out there or more. And so you say, guys would drop that dime in. He died a multimillionaire. Of course, he had a little money before then, but not a great deal.
You don't reckon politics had anything to do with where they placed the camps, do you? Did they place the camps one side of the river or the other for that reason, for business reasons, or?
No, they didn't think they was going to help any, which they didn't. They didn't help nobody but this that man to run the show, because they didn't spend money nowhere else.
They didn't go in stores and buy fruit and vegetables and things like that much. They got the food from somewhere else.
Army furnished it.
What do you feel like the greatest contribution of the CCC was in general?
Oh. They were, they helped the forest area out of the forest section. And Of course, they built trails in the cave.
Do you think it made a big difference in the military for World War II?
Yes, yes it did. It hit that. Now the CC's built up. How many miles of trails have we got down there? Hiking trails, surface hiking trails.
Surface hiking trails, there's probably 50, 60 miles up that side.
Close to it. I didn't know, but now junk like that'll slip your mind. See, I haven't thought too much since I retired. That's a fact, you don't. Then I went through that operation. That was a little rough on me.
Yeah.
So I forgot a whole lot of that junk. Seemed like it's 40 miles of trail, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
they built 40 miles of trails. And the blacks built most of them trails. Because I remember seeing them scooting them wheelbarrows up and down them hills. They built them out of lime rock, you know, just crushed limestone.
What about the roads in the area? Did the CCC help?
Oh, they built a lot of the trails. I mean, a lot of dirt roads. They were dirt roads, and they had three or four rock quarries that they worked the guys in. I lucked out. I didn't have to hit that quarry. That's hard work.
Oh, yeah.
In a lime quarry. See, number four had one. Can't remember whether number two had or not. And I think the blacks had a rock quarry somewhere. And number three, too. I believe they all had a rock quarry. Because it didn't all, you know, just so much limestone, you could always find a place to blast some limestone and start crushing it.
Did you notice any problems with the CCC? You know, either in general as a big program or specifically in the camp that you worked in? People not getting along, or desertions, did guys leave, or?
Oh, there'd be a few leave, but not many. Oh, they'd tickle to death to get that good grub, $25. Some of the parents didn't need that money. Mine did. Mine needed that money to live on. But some of them, they'd send them some of that money back, and they helped the bootleggers out quite a little bit because they'd buy moonshine.
Were there a lot of moonshiners in the area that the CCC boys went to?
Yeah. Well, them bootleggers come right close to the camp and bootleg that whiskey. Yeah. My brother-in-law, his dad used to do a lot of moonshining and bootlegging.
How many brothers did you have work in the CCC?
I just had one.
Just the one, the older one?
Is that Marty?
No, Garland. You don't know him. He's,
no.
He's 85 now.
Long ago.
Still kicking.
Well, what did you do after you got out? When you got out of the CCC?
Oh, I started work at the cave as a seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I got laid off the 15th of October, I believe. And I went to Louisville and started working for DuPont's powder plant over in Charlestown, Indiana, about 20 miles out of Louisville. Worked there for 2 years.
Did you have to go anywhere for the war?
Then went in the Army and stayed 3 years, 3 months, and 17 days. Full-time in Africa, in Europe.
You the one caught Lloyd Wells coming out of a house over in Egypt somewhere, didn't he?
Really, I didn't. No, they kid about
they
it.
They told that on you.
Yeah, but he, I seen him, you know, the way he do things real quick, he's turning the GI truck around. And he stayed late there in Africa. We did too. We stayed almost a year. And he was driving one of them 6x6s as I seen him. And I seen another old GI that comes down the cave, a guy, Ward. He was about two-thirds Indian. I remember seeing him in Italy.
Huh.
Turn the tape over real fast. This is the second side of the tape of my interview with Mr. Shorty Coach. So after the war, did you come back to this area of the country? Did you come back to...
Oh yeah, I got out of the Army in 1945 and come back here. But it's too late to work seasonal. And I got out in October, I believe, so the season was over. And I drawed that rocking chair money. I got by very well with that $20 a week. It wasn't bad. And when spring come, they said I could work as a seasonal guide. So I started working as a seasonal guide and worked from then on till 50. Let's see, when did I get on permanent? I've forgotten when I got on permanent, but I worked till, it seemed like it's 49. As a seasonal, up to 49, from 46 to 49 is a seasonal guy. Mm-hmm. It seemed like in 50 in July I got on permit. Been there, stayed there, yeah, about close to 40 years.
What did you do as a permanent worker, the same thing type?
Just storytelling. Well, after I got on the permit, I didn't. No, I don't believe I had to do any bridge cleaning like that.
So you took people through?
I took people through the canyon.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell me about the CCC?
I can't remember nothing. Maybe there is something, but I don't know.
Oh, I forgot to ask you. Do many of the CCC boys play pranks on each other in the camps? Do you remember?
Yes, one of the favorite pranks was they lay down on the bed, went to sleep. They'd hot foot put a wad of polish on your shoe instead of the fire, man, that'd burn you up. You got that shoe off. They pull that trick on me. You get that shoe off real quick.
Somebody was telling me about making some of these new guys guard the flagpole with the broomstick. Somebody told me about that. I think that was camp number two. I don't know.
Well, yeah, maybe they did. They pulled several tricks, but see, I wasn't with them too much. I strictly stayed in the cave.
What year did you retire from working?
At the camp?
Uh-huh.
1980, because that was my first year up here.
1980, that's fine.
Well, you were in there for a long time.
Yeah, I had... See, I was 65 before I retired. Mm-hmm. And there's not too many guides last that long. Because of the radar, that's what it is. That's one of the things. Because shortly after I quit, I could tell my lungs wasn't right. Well, I started spitting that blood because of the blood. And when we was in the CCs, we were trying to dig into some new cave and digging in that sand and clay, no circulation, wasn't good circulation at all. Why, you could feel that real bad. I know one of the CCs that I was sleeping next to, he said, boy, you got TB. I got a real rough cough. I said, no, none of my people have died with TB. I don't have TB. But I did have a bad cough, no joking, and I'm pretty sure that that's what it was. Of course, then after staying in that cave for 40 years, it...
Your body got used to it?
Well, no.
It got worse?
You get lung cancer. I know one man that lived in Salt Cave for 12 years. He stayed in there day and night. He loved the cave area. He's out of New York. He's a civil engineer out of New York. And of course, he had to do something to get by. I think they said he moonshined a little bit.
What was his name, Shorty?
Tom.
Tom.
Yeah.
Tom.
Yeah.
Tom.
Yeah. Turner.
Turner.
Yeah. You know Turner, don't you?
Heard the
I
name.
Mean, you've heard the name.
Yeah. Ed, was it Ed Turner or what was his first name? Bill Turner? I can't remember his first name.
No, I can't remember it either.
Was it the same one connected with the Great Onyx?
Yeah. See, he discovered the Great Onyx Cave from Salt's Cave, which is, Salt's Cave is about, on the surface is about 4 or 5 miles. It seemed to be that pretty close to 4 miles. I know he traveled underground from the Salt's Cave into the Great Onyx Cave.
Wow.
He could come up at one time on our place, back there on the ridge where we had a place, because he told my mother, said, now, I come up right there, come out to the surface and cause a little sinkhole, and then went on, discovered Onyx Cave. But he described it thoroughly, how he covered that. He covered that with a big sand rock about that big, and put white oak poles under it, so it wouldn't scoot, you know, break the dirt loose and screw down in there.
I mean, he covered up that sinkhole that way.
He covered up that sinkhole that way. And I guess he put dirt on it, but when I went to look, my mother told that tale, and I went to look and I said, well, that is the truth. That old man was telling the truth. Because them white oak poles are still there. They're about cut from white oak sapling, about that big. And white oak don't rot too fast.
What if that's ever fallen in now?
Oh, they covered it up. I told that tale, and the cave outfit covered it up. Cave research group.
Cave research.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they were. Because I looked for it 3 or 4 times after I told them that tale, and couldn't find it.
Well, did Edwards block off the passageway between Great Onyx and Solace?
Yeah.
Because there's supposed to be not a way to do that anymore. I'm not supposed to be able to get from Great Onyx.
Oh, yes, he was a sharper. Old man Edwards was.
Well, he blocked it. Did he ever tell you that he blocked it off?
No. No, but I know he did, because Turner said that's the way he got in there, was through Salt. And he was supposed to get half the cave for exploring, discovering and exploring it. Of course, Edwards sharped him out of that. Edwards wanted to marry his daughter. See, he had two daughters. And the youngest son, they wanted Turner to marry. Well, Turner was already married, and he wouldn't do it. And they chased him off. I remember when he come from Onyx Cave, he come by our house just in back of the hotel there. Went over, stayed with Joe Lee. His wife was Sarah Ann. We called her Aunt Sarah Ann. She was a midwife and, you know, kind of a country doctor. And he went over there and got bit. Wanted her to doctor him up. And while he was there, he stayed 3 months. He got bed fast and laid down and died. But that, they called it TB then, because they wouldn't know a cancer from TB. But I know he got that cancer from that radon in Salt's Cave. And some of the guys, they like to kid me, some of them older guys. I know a lot of tales that they didn't think I would remember, would even hear, and so on. But I lived right there at the cave. And they got Turner's picture. So here's one thing that you don't know. Who is that? And I said, that's Harry Bush. But I know he's too old to be Harry Bush, because Harry Bush went to school when I did. And he was a son of that daughter they wanted Turner to marry. And little Roe, you know him, didn't you? He kind of, one time, was in love with that girl. I said, I didn't know it was Turner, but I said, boy, it looks like Harry Bush. I'll guarantee you it does, just exactly. Of course, that tickled them guys to death. They knew the story, too. But little Roe made him mad as a devil, because he didn't want nobody talking about that girl. But I thought it was, I mean, it looked exactly like Harry Bush. And then they told me the story. I'd heard something about that, but I didn't know what it was. But I could see the connections there after they said, well, let's turn it.
You still go up to the cave?
Too much. I stay away from there. I don't need to be in the cave. And I'd like to go in. But so that's one of the guys that I'm almost positive that died with that radon cancer. And another one was Bill Bradford. He spent about 40-50 years in Mammoth Cave. And when he was 72, he died at 72, but he retired when he was 70. Didn't have to retire then, but he got disabled. He went home and his lungs started bleeding. And of course they didn't know the difference. They called it TB. And that's another one of them guys. 10 people that died with that. I just almost couldn't prove it, but I'm just almost positive.
You know, a lot of them out there now say, well, a lot of the old guys didn't die with lung disease. They died with a heart attack or something. But there are some, according to you, that did die with some kind of lung disorder.
Yeah. That's two I know of.
But speaking of the Bransfords, a minute, were any of the Bransfords in the Three Seas that you know of?
Well, some of the younger ones were, because when the CCs come, they wanted to get rid of the blacks as guys because they drank too much and hard to control and so on. And they shifted them younger blacks. Two of the Bradfords went into the CCs. And then when the CCs was over, their job was gone.
Yeah. Any of them still living in this area, or all of them dead?
I don't know. There's one still living, but he lives in Cincinnati, I believe.
There's still some Bransfords over around Glasgow. I didn't know if any of them were.
Well, they're descendants from that.
Descendants, but they're not the ones.
No, I don't know of one over there that's still living. Yeah, two of them Bransfords that went in the CCs, one of them died at Glasgow. He went to Glasgow and he died there. And that one that's still living lives in, I believe it's Cincinnati.
I'm going to turn the tape off.
Thanks a lot, Shorty.
Thank you, Shorty. I appreciate it.